Good morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way, and we are excited for another day of grace. We are excited the fact that the Lord has continued to be long-suffering. As long as He's long-suffering, He gives us another opportunity to share the good news of the gospel of the grace of God, and He's in a ministry of reconciliation, and that's part of our ministry. In fact, we're spreading the good news that God is reconciling His Son and us to God the Father. And you know, a lot of times when we think about things that's going on in this world, we look at the fact that it would be great to be reconciled, knowing that we are already reconciled, but the fact that when He takes us out of here, we get a glorified body, we get a position in the heavenly places. And as we continue our study in the Word of God, the contrasting in the Word of God, we know that there's no contradiction in your Bible. Now, a lot of people you talk to may say, now that sounds like a contradiction. There's no contradiction in your Bible, but there's contrast, which means opposite. And as we continue to grow and learn and be able to teach and be able to help other people understand some things, that we have to understand that God made a division in the Bible. He made a division between the prophetic program, which is this right here. Okay? This is your Bible on prophecy. And when you understand the mystery program, what we're doing right now, this is the Bible on the mystery program. So we're going to study today the contrast in God's Word, and we're in lesson 20. And what we're going to learn today is the 12 apostles under their commission. Now you got to remember what we've been studying over a period of time. How many apostles did, when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, how many apostles did He, I want to say approved, but appointed? Okay, how many disciples did He have up to that point? Okay, probably more, but 12 He chose, and there was one tribe per what? One apostle per tribes. And how many tribes are in the nation Israel? 12. That's why you get 12, 12, 12. And when you know, if you think about the 12 out there in Numbers, they get this from Israel. And He appointed them to be His representation on this earth. Even when He was here, He still used the 12 apostles, okay? And then He dies and buries and rose again. And last week we looked at the fact that Israel must be born again. But we, as a new creation, are we born again? No, we're a new creation, something brand new. And then we looked a couple lessons before that Peter and the company had a gospel of the circumcision. That's what this is. He is right here. And the gospel of the circumcision is what Peter, James, and John, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the circumcision people. And who is the circumcision? Israel. And on a contrast of that, you had the gospel of the uncircumcision. Who was those people? Everybody down here, okay? But Israel themselves had a gospel to give to the circumcision so they could be fed, because they was up here on top, and for them to be able to feed other people, they had to be fed first. We always talk about when you're in an airplane and you're sitting there and you buckled up, and they tell you buckle up, and this, can you call them stewardess anymore? Or they're flight attendants, aren't they? They stand up there, and they go through the process. You know, we got six exits, and many of you probably know that by memory, what they're going to say. But you know what? There's always a couple guys or, you know, somebody always talking behind you. And that's very, very rude. And there's one time I was had to go to a restroom. I get up and go, and the flight attendant's back. I said, does that really bother you when people just talking over top of you? They said, yep. I said, I would stop them. I said, excuse me, sir. I'm talking here. And there's times I say, excuse me, you know, and Sherry's nudging me like, don't say that. But anyway, the thing is, what do they say? If the oxygen mask falls, you put it on your neighbor first, right? You put it on yourself first. Why is that? Yeah, you breathe. Okay, help him, help her, help the everybody. So that's what Israel's supposed to have done first. They had to be fed first in order to be able to feed others, okay? And My children has to be fed, okay? And didn't he not tell Peter, feed my sheep? He told him like two or three times, feed them. So that's what this is right here. So when you think about the circumcision, uncircumcision, today the 12 apostles are under their commission, sought to bring the nation of Israel to repentance in view of the crucifying their Christ. Now, before that, what was the view? What was John the Baptist's repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Was it ever offered there? There's a difference. It wasn't offered, was it? Lord, he gets his head cut off. Lord Jesus Christ picks up the gauntlet and says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ even taught that same message. He tells the 12 apostles, go not in the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They're to pray the heaven and to come to earth. So that's their commission, and they that's now, we're getting ready to look, go be turned to Acts chapter 3. The thing is, the fact that he's in view of their crucifying the Christ. Now what do they do? And so they indicted them for a crime, but offered them forgiveness and blessings of God so they could participate in Israel's at-hand kingdom. If they don't get the blessings, and if they don't get the renewal of who God is dealing with Israel, Israel's down here with the Gentiles. But this is Acts chapter 3. What do you know about Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. Yes, where are they at in Acts chapter 2, if you know your Bible?
Pentecost.
What's happening at Pentecost? It's a party time, ain't it? 40 days after Passover comes Pentecost. So they're there in Jerusalem. They haven't left, so they're there. And notice that verse 14, Peter standing up with 11, that makes 12, lift up your voice and said ye unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to these words. And he talks about Joel and these things are happening and all. Then he says, verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. Who requires signs? That's another prophetic part of program. They require signs. Jews require signs. Greeks seek after wisdom. We walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? It's easy to see things and won't say, oh, see, God's doing some things out there. I recently listened to a guy on a secular radio, and he's got a great following, and he's talking about the things in the world's going on, and he says that I hate to tell you guys this, but God kind of came to me in a vision. Well, he didn't really come in a vision, but he's telling me this. Well, he didn't really tell me this. And you know how they do that? And he lost me. And one of my friends listens to him religiously, and I said, I can listen to somebody up to a point, but when they say God told them to do this, or God said to do this, or I got a message from God, or God spoke to me last night, that tells me something. I'm very, very strong on this, that they don't have the inherent word of God, and they don't think God's got the completed word of God. Because them blank pages in the back of your Bible is not for God's revelation to you. That's for notes and stuff. But God speaks to you how? Through his word. And if he line it up with that, you got me. It may not be right divided, but at least they're using the word of God. And they're not saying God spoke to them. But anyway, did God speak to the 12? Yeah, through Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit came on them and that type of thing. So they had it all. But what it is, where am I? Signs. Then he goes about the fact that David foretold a Messiah kingship after resurrection. That's 25 down through 31. Then he says the resurrection proves that he is the Lord and Christ. But when he says, verse 37, after Peter's talking to those nations of Jews that, from other nations there. By the way, if you was a Russian Jew at that time, where was you supposed to be? Pentecost. Okay, you, it was your way to go. You had to make homage to Israel. And when David was in captivity, did he go, not David, but Daniel, when he's in captivity, did he go back to Israel every year? No. You remember how long he was in that captivity? Long time, wasn't he? Okay. But what did God, God gave them a way to worship him even though they was out amongst the heathen. How was that? You remember? Jerusalem, okay, and that's why you see, and I see, the, there's a certain group of people out there, they still pray to Mecca in the east, no matter what, five times a day, you see them on the side of the highway, on their knees, praying towards Mecca. Well, Israel, no matter where they're at, God made a provision that they could pray towards Israel. That's why Daniel was praying towards Israel, and didn't somebody make a decree, remember? And said if he called and pray, and they did, so they throw him in the lions in the furnace too, wasn't it? But anyway, they tried to do everything they tried to do to nation Israel to stop them from worshiping the God, the Creator. Now, people in the world today won't do that to you. They let you do whatever you want to do. But there might become a time that you and I will might not be able to worship the way we worship. Okay? Yeah. So we're very thankful, and if you want to say bless, you can say bless, but I'm not going to say anything about that. But what did he do? He says, the Lord, sit on my right hand till I make my foe the footstools. And verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God did that, God the Father. So what's the next thing? Now, when they heard this, what did they hear? Everything that he spoke of up to verse 22. And it wasn't really pleasant because he's Peter's telling them, you did this. He says, now it was pricked in their heart, and he said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto who? You. Now, who's he talking about there? And to the, your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call them. Now, a lot of people in the, we'll say the Acts 28 position, they'll say, see, that far off really means you and I. Okay? That's not true, because Daniel 9 was far off. Isaiah 57, 19, Isaiah 39, 13, and so on. But what amounts to, you keep on reading for a second. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. So there's a generation out there that's not too good, right? You see what they did to John the Baptist, right? What did they do? What did they do to Lord Jesus Christ? Okay? And this is before they stoned Stephen too. So there's a repentance being given to them to change. What does repent means? Change your mind. Okay? Change it from this untoward generation. And he says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, does that number ring a bell for anything that you can think of? 3,000 souls? Yeah. Go to Exodus 32. You should have Exodus 32 beside your that word right there. (Clears throat) Exodus 32. Verse 27 says, Exodus 32:27, and he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out of the gate, to the gate, throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. That don't sound too good, does it? And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. 3,000 men left Israel. They gained 3,000 men over here in Pentecost. You read on down through there when he talks about in the upper room, there's 120. That coincides with 120 priests. So there's numbers in there that God, when God takes away something, he can give it back. That's what I'm trying to say. But he always used remnants. Now he says down through there, go back to Acts. So he's this is where he, and you probably heard me say this before, if not 1,000 times. This is a murder indictment. You with wicked hands has crucified him. So they got him on the stand. And they're getting ready to say murder. So if they have a murder indictment against them, they can't get into the program, if that makes sense. But we're in chapter 3, and they're going to give and offer them forgiveness and blessing. Look at chapter 3, verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. This is still Pentecostal present, okay? Before was Pentecostal pictured in verse, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, stay with me for a minute, is the Pentecostal pictured. This is what's supposed to happen in Pentecostal, okay? And then chapter 2, verses 12 through 47, I'm not going to read them for sake of time, that's Pentecostal explain what's this about. Then a picture of it is the first 11 verses in chapter 3. Then from chapter 12 down to chapter 3, verses 12, all the way over chapter 4, verse 22, is Pentecostal present. This is what's going on right now. And he says, verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto them, ye men of who? Israel, why marvel ye at this, and why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had this man made whole? Now you know the first 11 verses, what the guy's doing. He's on the steps asking for what? Money, right? Alms. Peter says, we have none. Stand on your feet. Okay? He didn't ask to be healed, by the way. But he got healed. Now he's going to have to go to work. Sorry, if you don't work, you don't eat. So what better way to go in the kingdom whole? You will not go into the kingdom of God over here in ages to come. Anything wrong with you? So verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, who hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was delivered to him to let go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just One and desired a murderer to be granted to you. Peter's recounting what they did and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, faith given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wrought that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. So you with wicked hands has crucified him. Now it's what? You ignorantly did it. But those things which God before, this is for Israel, has shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he also shall fulfill. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Has that happened? That's still future. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preaching to you, whom the heavens must receive into times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. That's prophecy. Something spoken since the world began. This is what God was doing since Genesis 1:1, 1:2, right? All the way over to Acts chapter 9. And hold your finger as well, just stay there. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. This is prophecy stuff that God foretold him what going to happen here. Ye are the children of the prophets and the covenants which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in thy seed shall the kindreds of the earth be blessed. That's Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Unto you first. Who's this? Who you talking to again? Israel. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. God sent his son, and this is foretold. This was not the mystery. God said he's going to send his son to pay for our iniquity. Not only ours, but their, Israel's, iniquities. Okay? They have a sin debt they had to pay for. He died and was buried and rose again. So this is what Peter is trying to explain to the nation Israel. He's talking to nation Israel here. He's not talking to anybody else. Explaining to them that God, they indicted them for the crime, but offered them for forgiveness. Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. That at hand program, the kingdom's at hand, was going on till Christ died and buried, rose again. Now the kingdom's not at hand, it's being offered. Okay? It's no longer at hand. It's right now is your time, Israel. In order to get your forgiveness done, in order to get a renewed mind where he comes back in the presence of the Lord and brings them back over here, it's all right now. Chapter 5. Verse 20, chapter 5, I can't read, I already read my long, right, chapter 5, verse 12 down to 42 is Pentecost. Well, chapter 4, verses 23 through 55, you got to see this Pentecost because they're still in Pentecost, okay? Chapter 4, verse 23 through chapter 5, verse 11, Pentecost is repeated. You heard what he said in chapter 2. Now it's repeated in chapter 4. Now in chapter 5, verses 12 through 42, Pentecostal is understood here. Now we have to understand what Pentecostal is. Go to chapter 5, verse 27. We won't read all of it, but... And when they had brought them, they set before the council. Let me see if I can back up here just for a second. Y'all bear with me. There's a second prosecution. in verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all that they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Because he's talking to them, right? And they don't like what they're talking to. You know, you look in the world today, and you got some people that will tell you the truth, and you may not like that. And you start kicking, and you start crawling, and you start fighting and stuff. And he and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all these words of life. They're going to fulfill what God told them to do, okay? And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught, but the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and set to the prison to have them brought. The leaders of Israel that Peter and them went to tell them what the renewed, here's your chance to get in the program, what do? Okay, they don't like that. Same as the Pharisees. You take away their power, they don't like that. And then he goes on down through there, verse 27, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? There's a big question mark. What name would that be? Jesus Lord Jesus Christ. Because then we say, Peter said, made him Lord and Christ. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and an intent to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, what did he say over there? You with wicked hands in chapter 2. What did he say in chapter 3? You did it what? So he went from a murder indictment to a manslaughter. But he says, you won't bring this blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. That's what we all should say, right? We're going to obey God rather than man. You know, when you get facts checked and all that stuff in the past, you know, that was their doing. You post stuff what God says, and they still fact check you and say, hey, God didn't say that. So when you preach and teach and share the Word of God, you got facts here. And you speak the facts, right? We can speak our own opinion. And that's when you usually get in trouble. Because somebody else has got opinion. Then Peter, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And God, the God of our fathers, raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hung on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and the Savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are the witness of these things. And so it is also the Holy Ghost, which God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now, this is their way of getting Israel back into the little flock. Okay, giving them an opportunity, because who did God the Father sent John the Baptist to the nation Israel? To the nation Israel. He didn't send them to the Gentiles. Y'all know that. Y'all also know that they was born over here coming out of Israel. Let my firstborn go. That God looked at Israel as his son, and he took his son and put him up here on top, and all the world saw what God was doing through Israel, and they knew what God, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was doing. And people trembled. But as they got bigger and thought they was more holy than now, they stumbled, didn't they? By the time Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, they didn't know. They was already in captivity. They was already under other rulers. And God didn't set them that way. In fact, God takes the crown, the diadem, and gives it to his son, not Israel. So a lot of things happened over that period of time that took the power away from Israel and gave it to God the Son. But they still had the Spirit to be saved. But when they crucified him, what did he say? What did they say? They cut to heart and took counsel to what? Slay him. Now, I have to ask you something. Y'all know what happens. I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but I will go to chapter 7. You know who comes on the scene? Stephen. That's right here. Okay? This is chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay? This is where this little place right here, the little flock, it's my Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom of God. He takes that nation authority and gives it to a bunch of little 12 and the followers, and they don't like that when you took that authority away from them. So the kingdom's being offered in the verses what we read. Also, the ministry is to Israel first. We just read that. And to you first. Then it's the gospel of the circumcision. Okay? And that's Acts. We also know something happened in chapter 7 when Stephen is talking to the people now. Now, what do you know about Stephen? He talks about verse 37. This is the Moses which... Chapter 7, verse 37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Didn't Peter say that a little while ago? Seemed like he did. So they use a Moses. Now who's Moses? The lawgiver as law. What Moses said, they did. This is he that was in the church in the what? Wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. You see that church in where? There's a church in the wilderness. There's a kingdom church. Then there's a church, the body of Christ. There's three main churches in your Bible. And you got to remember what they was doing right here. They're still in line with the church in the wilderness. But he says down through there, you keep reading, our fathers, look at verse 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me the slain beast and sacrificed by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Question mark there. Ye took upon the tabernacle of Molech, and the star of your God, was it Rithim? Figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. You see what they're doing? That star, now many people understand that the true emblem of Israel should be the burning bush. That's where God was. Not that star they call Star of David. What star would they say here? So they take a star and they start worshiping Molech, you know, that type of thing, and it ain't pleasant. Then he says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witnesses in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he had should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Now, what did Moses see? Burning bush. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for God of Jacob. But Solomon built him the house and a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. God dwelleth not in the temple of the hands. Where he dwelleth at? In the hearts of what? Okay. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? He's asking questions here. You know, Solomon built him a house. He told Solomon, didn't he? But if his throne is in heaven and the earth is his footstool, what can you give God?
Yourself.
Hath not made with hands made all these things? Look what he says. Ye stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. They didn't like that. They didn't like it. Which of the prophets have not your fathers prosecuted? And they have slain them, which slew before of all the comings of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels, and have not kept them. And when they heard these things, they were cut in heart to the heart, and they gnashed on their teeth with him with his teeth. Sorry, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand. Now let me ask you something. You just seeing God represented. John the Baptist represented God the Father, right? Jesus Christ represents God the Son. Here's God the Holy Spirit. What do they do? See, what I'm saying is, what are they going to do next? They stone him. He's full of the Holy Ghost. And he looks up to God. This is the prophetic program right here. He looks up to God. What's God doing right here? Jesus Christ, what's he doing? He's standing. He's up there in the throne of God standing. Now, a lot of people say he's there to welcome Stephen home. You know, here's another one of his saints going to be taken to heaven. So he's if that's to be true, the Lord Jesus Christ stands up a lot. Up and down. If he's sitting, up and down. He's standing because what's the next thing in the prophetic program supposed to happen? This right here. This is the train going down the track. He's standing up to bring this area into play. Okay? You with me? But something's happened there at the stoning of Stephen, and go to be turned into Romans chapter 11. So now, what God is doing, the kingdom's being offered there, but it's not being offered now, is it? What's the kingdom program doing right now? Waiting, postpone. Paul, under his commission, a contrast, now we're going to the mystery program side. Paul, under his commission, announced that Israel had fallen and that God had temporarily set Israel's program aside, and Israel's fullness and kingdom won't come until after the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Something's happened here. Before, I told you to go where? Romans 11. And I say this before and I say it again. What does Romans 9, 10, 11 have to do with in Paul's epistle, Romans? It's a dispensational matter. But look at chapter 10, verse 1 right quick. He talks about verse 30 says, what shall we say then? Verse 29 says, and Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we have been in, was it Sodomah? And have been likened to Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? They didn't like that. They didn't understand that. How can you Gentiles that didn't follow the law of righteousness obtain righteousness of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not obtained the law of righteousness. All that stuff we was reading, the Sadducees and all those lawyers, all those people that was ruling Israel and making Israel do what they said, they wasn't following after righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, and as written, behold, I'll lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Now, where did they stumble at? Where? The cross. This is their stumbling stone. And this is what God's going, the Father sent down there to them. But look at verse 10, verse chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Israel, for Israel is that they might be what? That they might be saved. Does this say every one of them is going to be saved? For I bear them record that they had a zeal of God, but not according to what? The knowledge. What knowledge did they have? The Word of God, right? They had all of it. What we're reading, they had. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And he goes on and talks about Moses described the righteousness of which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. When Jesus Christ come on the scene, they're supposed to acknowledge that because they had the writings. And they didn't. Go to chapter 11. We went over this before, chapter 11. I say, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to what? Jealousy. That's what we just read. They stumbled and they fall. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, as much as I am apostle to Gentiles, I'll magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke, he's warning Gentiles here, okay? Provoke to the immolation them that are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the receiving of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and though, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them the partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but of the root of thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, this is Israel, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore the goodness of the severity of God on them which fail severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, thou shalt be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut all out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to the nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which are the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I will not have you to... Wait a minute. For I will not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be the wise of your own conceit, that blindness is in part has happened what? Until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, that program's on hold. And you cannot be grafted in. You cannot be any. God, right now, in a dispensation of grace, everybody's down here. I've said this once, I've said 1,000 times. For those who listen, might be the first time. For those here, probably 999 times. You probably see that backwards in your sleep. He says over here, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, thou shalt come out of Zion to deliver, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. We know that's what Ezekiel 36 says. But has the Lord Jesus Christ come out of Zion to deliver yet? Is he back on this earth yet? When does that happen? Over here. It's going to take place over here. So Paul was telling the Israelites, hey, he's coming back over here. But he says, for this is my covenant unto them. That's not us. Hold your fingers there for a second. And when I was take away their sin. Hebrews 8. I'm getting ready to close here in just a few minutes. Chapter 8, verse 6 says, But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. But how much also is he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better what? Promises. That's ages to come. But for this is my covenant to them when he shall take away their sins. That's over there, guys. And as concerning the gospel, they, that's Israel, are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. I'm going to close with this. There's no such thing as spiritual Israel. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? That right there shows there's no spiritual Israel. Because what the world says, this gospel puts you in Israel's program. But you got to understand, there's plenty of gospels out there. The good news. The good news all through the Bible. And the gospel of uncircumcision and the gospel of grace of God that God is doing today is different than what we read before. So the program at hand, Israel's program at hand, it's been postponed. And it was offered to them. And they don't receive it till they get over here. And God's going to have people. Don't think that you're going to go through, you're going to live through this era and teach people. I know we lost a lot of brothers out there that says that since Paul had some help in his early ministries, Jewish apostles and all that stuff, therefore the body of Christ is going to go over here and help Israel understand their Bible. They have the Word of God. And when we're taken out of here, which is part of the mystery program, God's got 144,000 that's going to preach a gospel of God against that Antichrist over here. And you know what? You're not going to be able to hurt them. 144,000 is going out there. It's 12,000 per tribe, according to scriptures. And they get raptured out mid-trib. Okay? And then there's a war, Jesus come back in the war and all that stuff going on. But until that time happens, our concern in the dispensation of grace, knowing that there's kingdom that's been postponed, I don't know how many times I have to say that. You know, maybe one. Sometimes I've got to convince myself again. But the thing is, that's what people projects out there. In the 90-some percent of your denomination, they're preaching some kind of kingdom message. You know, repent, be baptized, want you in a kingdom. It all sounds great, guys. It all sounds great when you can go to that and feel that you're doing something. But we don't walk by feelings, do we? You know, I know for a fact when we let our feelings control our emotions and our emotions not lining up and our feelings line up with the Word of God, we make some bad decisions. And it's this flesh that does it. And we can pray, and we can thank God that He's going to take us out of this flesh, and He's going to put a new body on us, and we can't wait. I know a lot of you don't want to leave loved ones behind, but if they're saved, guess what? They're going to be right with you. So when you leave today, keep in mind that what God is doing today under the commission, that Israel has fallen, and God temporarily set Israel's program aside. He hasn't forgot about them. We read that. He hadn't forgot about them. He says his covenants take away their sins. That's Hebrews chapter 8. He'll take away their sins. God hasn't forgot about them. But for you and I today, sitting here, we're in a dispensation of God, of grace, and the kingdom won't come until after we're taken out of here to the fullness of the Gentiles. It's coming down. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. Thank you for the love that you shared on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.